welcome to a new edition of Mercenary Musings Radio featuring mining analyst and commodities expert, the mercenary geologist, Mickey Fulp. We are your most trusted source for in-depth analysis and commentary on commodities, mining, and the junior resource sector. And joining us on the line from Mercenary Musings World Headquarters in lovely Albuquerque, New Mexico, is the mercenary geologist himself, Mickey Fulp. Mickey, how have you been?
I've been well, Rob, and you?
Good. Well, fighting a bit of a cold here. Is this your favorite time of year? You've got your defending Stanley Cup champion St. Louis Blues back in action with the start of the regular hockey season. And baseball playoffs are underway. Your Cardinals in the thick of a battle with Atlanta.
Well, this is true. So it's for sports teams, this is kind of ideal. We've got NFL football a month in, and NBA basketball starts up here in a couple of weeks. So pretty nice time of year for sports fans.
Indeed. Well, we have no medals on the menu for this program, Mickey. Instead, you decided we should take a deep dive into U.S. oil and gas and that huge glut of shale gas that's out there. Where do you want to begin?
Well, it's been nearly 2 years since we've devoted a program to oil and gas, and it's one of the things I follow on a constant basis. So I thought it was time to revisit here. A year ago, we had WTI, the benchmark North American crude, at $71. It's now at $53. So there's been some changes in oil and gas business over the last couple of years.
Yeah, indeed. It's a difficult time, though, to mount any sustained rise in crude oil, isn't it? I mean, it's been stuck in a trading range for quite a while, and certainly when you look at how the oil stocks themselves have traded, this has not been a good stretch.
No, and the price really has been range-bound, probably between the low 50s, and it popped into the $60 range a couple of times, but no staying power there. Even with what happened about a month ago now, I guess, or maybe 3 weeks ago, when the Yemenis or the Iranians, one or the other or both, bombed Saudi oil refineries and took half of Saudi oil production off the world stage. The price briefly spiked to $64, but came right back down. And a lot of this has to do with the trade wars and the slowing world economy. Demand for oil is slowing down, but yet it's still going to be about a 1.1% gain of world demand this year. We're well over 100 million barrels of oil demand per day, and there's no end in sight for increasing oil demand, although it has dropped projections from 1.4% growth this year to about 1.1%.
Yeah, and you know what I found quite interesting, Mickey, following those attacks in Saudi Arabia? If that would have happened 20 years ago, my God, the world would have been on edge, you know, freaking out over a big drop in the supply of oil coming onto the world stage. But things have really changed since then. OPEC is not the big necessarily really controlling things like it used to. And, you know, look in your backyard, the United States, what, the biggest producer of energy products, or of energy sources of energy right now. So we're a lot less dependent on OPEC than we were before.
Well, OPEC's basically not a force in the world anymore, as opposed to even 10 years ago, and certainly 30 or 40 years ago when they controlled the world's oil production. In fact, both OPEC and Russia, when the price went to $71 about a year ago, or was held at that $70 plus or minus range, that was really due to OPEC and Russian production cuts, because U.S. shale producers are just flooding the world with oil. We have gone plus 250% in oil production in the U.S. over the last decade, plus 200% over the last decade in U.S. gas. We are the world's largest oil producer by far now, the world's largest gas producer by far. Oil production's up to 12.4 million barrels a day. And compare that to a decade ago when the U.S. produced about 5 million barrels a day.
Yeah, well, if there are listeners out there who did not read one of your recent musings, I encourage them to do that. The headline was what? The Big Bad Bully on the Black Gold Market, basically referring to the United States. And you know what I found incredibly interesting in that article, Mickey, was the fact that you point out the Permian Basin in Texas and part of New Mexico, the world's fourth largest oil producer. That area of the United States, number four in the entire world, behind Saudi Arabia, Russia, and Iraq. That's a real eye-opener, isn't it, for a lot of people?
Well, it is. I mean, one basin, and the state of New Mexico is a significant part of the Permian Basin. But by the end of this year, with some ongoing problems in Iraq, the Permian's going to be the world's third largest oil producer behind the Saudis and the Russians. But U.S. is by, you take all U.S. production, Permian's going to be up to somewhere around 4.5 million barrels by the end of the year. Mm-hmm. And that's about what Iraq's producing right now.
Yeah, and the speed in which development has taken place in that part of the United States and many other areas in the United States, just mind-boggling, really, at how fast this has developed.
Well, it really is. And the Permian Basin is now the third largest reservoir of oil in the world. Over the last couple of years, we've had lots of drill rigs, although that's really coming off very fast. But production, even though rigs are down 20% year over year, most of those rigs, about 40%, are drilling in the Permian. U.S. gas or oil production continues to increase. So with the slowdown in drilling, we would expect that to flatten out. The real problem in the Permian over the last couple of years is we got no way to get all that oil and gas to market. We didn't have sufficient pipelines. Now, that's turning around very quickly. We've got pipelines that have come on board in the Permian this year and more coming in within the next year. The problem we have right now is how do we get all that oil and especially all that gas to markets? It's light sweet crude. U.S. refining capacity is at full capacity for light sweet crude. We still need heavy crude. So really what's happened now is U.S. has turned increasingly to exporting its shale oil to other parts of the world, to other refineries that need light crude.
And you mentioned the U.S. is in need of heavy crude oil. That brings Canada into the conversation, doesn't it? But at the same time, we've got big problems and headaches up here with trying to get pipelines developed to move that crude out.
Well, you have geopolitical problems in Canada with lack of pipeline capacity. And the U.S. is partly responsible for that, too, with these continued delays of the expansion of the Keystone XL pipeline. But, you know, I live in Vancouver a portion of the year, and the Trans Mountain pipeline, which is trying to send more oil, Canada's heavy tar sands, oil sands, crude, to ports in both southern and northern BC, continued environmental opposition. Canadian government's gotten involved. They bought Enbridge?
Right.
They bought them out of the Trans Mountain pipeline. Now there's court cases that have held that development up again. So once again, geopolitics gets in the way of free markets in oil business. But Canada is still our most important source of heavy crude oil, heavy sour crude oil. The Saudis are about in fourth or fifth place now, maybe fourth place, but behind Mexico. We still get significant amount despite sanctions from Venezuela. A couple of U.S. big oil companies still operate in Venezuela. Increasingly, Colombia is a source of heavy oil for Gulf Coast refineries.
Let's talk about natural gas after a break here, because boy, oh boy, you talk about a commodity that's been in the dumper for quite some time. We'll get back to that in natural gas in just a second, okay?
Okay, Rob.
Mercenary Musings Radio provides you with insight into commodities, exploration, and mining investment. But did you know we can deliver a whole lot more and it won't cost you a penny? Sign up for free to Mickey Fulp's newsletter and you'll gain exclusive access to his stock picks via his timely alerts. You'll also get thought-provoking commentary in Mickey's Mercenary Musings, weekly notification of interviews, videos, and special invitations to his speaking engagements. Become a more successful investor by signing up today at mercenarygeologist.com. So we talked about the price of oil earlier. Mickey, let's turn to the price of natural gas. You talk about a commodity that's been in the dumper. We've got this big shale gas glut in the United States, and I've seen a report from IHS Market saying that U.S. natural gas prices could very well fall to levels not seen since the 1970s. And there's really nothing on the horizon that will give it a boost, is there?
Well, there are a couple of things on the horizon, but gas has been in the crapper since the global economic crisis in late summer of 2008. And, you know, I've got presentations on my website from 2009 basically saying there's no hope for gas. So It's been a decade since the global economic crisis started in late summer of 2008. Gas prices cratered from $7 or $8 a million BTU. They've averaged $3 more or less since the oil crash of fall of 2014. So we're 5 years with gas prices, with only a couple of very short spikes exacerbated by cold weather in your part of the world.
Yep.
That has sent it up. But no one makes money on $3 gas. And the problem is, for every shale oil well that produces mainly oil, most of those reservoirs are driven by gas pressure. So with every shale oil well, you're going to produce some gas.
Mm-hmm.
And there's so much gas in the Permian right now that oil producers are paying to have their gas transported away by pipeline. You know, problem with gas is you can't transport it in trucks or by rail. You can only transport it with pipelines, or you can flare it. And because of this glut of gas, there's more and more gas being flareable. Nobody wants to flare gas, mm-hmm. but, you know, it's not only is it not environmentally good, it theoretically cuts your profit margin, but when you're having to pay to have your gas transported from the wellhead, the economics is completely screwed up on that. And really, it has to do with insufficient pipeline capacity to the Gulf Coast, mm-hmm. And also the lack of deep water port facilities in Houston and Corpus and Beaumont, enough of that to transport the gas or to liquefy it and make LNG and ship it to other parts of the world, specifically Europe and Eastern Asia, where they need gas because mm-hmm. they don't have sufficient oil or coal mm-hmm. or other ways to produce energy.
Well, you know, Mickey, whenever we have these conversations, we like to wrap it up with a quick comment from you on whether there's an investing opportunity here. And I think, judging by the comments you've made so far, there is not. But maybe you'll surprise us, because you're a contrarian. You do like to go against the flow. Is there an opportunity for people to get into the energy sector right now, take advantage of the doldrums, put a little money at work, and reap a handsome profit a few years down the road? Is that a strategy you would suggest?
Well, it's always a strategy for contrarians, Rob. But at this time, the U.S. shale industry is going through another cutback with lesser wells, number of wells being drilled. Now, there are lots of wells that are called DUCs, or DUCs in the parlance of the oil business, and those are drilled but uncompleted. So we've got this big overhang. The real problem is we're kind of having a washout once again with U.S. E&Ps, exploration production companies in the shale patch, who have overextended. Now we have lower gas, oil and gas prices. So it's always something to put on your radar screen and keep in mind. But for me right now, it's a little too early until we see, number one, the trade war. Trade wars, if there's some resolution there, and before I would venture into U.S. shale producers, and certainly at this stage with all the geopolitics going on, an election coming up in Canada, I wouldn't touch Canadian oil and gas producers or explorers at all.
Okay, good way to wrap it up. Mickey, we will reconnect in about a month's time. Thanks a lot.
All right, thanks a lot, Rob.
That's Mickey Fulp, the Mercenary Geologist. You can find him on the web at mercenarygeologist.com. I'm Robert Graham at Mercenary Musings Radio. Thanks for listening.